Guy DiGiovanni is being interviewed by Renee Garalick for Concord's Oral History program. The interview is taking place at Period Realty Trust at 144 Sudbury Road on December 9th, 2003. Mr. DiGiovanni is 81 years old. A great deal of the look of Concord, you have influenced. Your interest in housing and the commercial streetscape, you've contributed an awful lot to Concord property. Some you have owned and developed yourself, others you maintain through ownership. And that's extremely important to our infrastructure. How did you become interested in working in Concord, and when?
Well, it was in the year 1964. I used to pass through Concord. On the way to Carlisle, I did some residential building in Carlisle, and I was the town itself impressed me very much riding through it, and I became very fond of the town itself, and some very nice people here also.
And what was your first project in Concord?
My first project in Concord was Wedgwood Common. That's in West Concord off Lodbrook Road, and I took it right from the ground up, and we had opposition, but we finally got it approved, and we did it in steps. Many of the people that were opposed to it after it was done were very pleased with how it turned out, and it became very friendly after the opposition, and I think that I'm pleased with it. We must have planted over 2,000 trees and different evergreens and landscaping. I think it's very important to a building, and the building structure itself is important, so it will be maintained and always look well and become part of the Concord.
And these were townhouses?
That's correct. These are individual townhouses. People that came from homes. There were firewalls in between that went right up to the roof, and they had their own heating system, their own hot water system, and the soundproof was very well maintained, and we made sure of that, and we employed the top great craftsmen in the heating business and plumbing business. We dealt quite a bit with the Tom Beano brothers, who were part of the town for a long time, and they served us well, and we were very well pleased with that.
And what was unique was the undergrounding of the utilities.
Yes. I was familiar a little bit with the underground electric and telephone in Belmont. It was underground as much as possible there, and I was acquainted with the light department there, and I got some guidance from them this way. When there were storms and no wires hanging over or breaking down, and to my knowledge, this was the first complex that was went underground, and I understand now the town is in favor of that going underground.
You were ahead of your time.
Well.
you mentioned you ran into opposition, and this actually ended up in court.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, there was some neighbors who were very adamant about it. In fact, as time went on, some of the neighbors that abutted us, they came to us to buy their property.
Well, you have a great track record. But before I leave this, your initial lawyer happens to be a very prominent Concordian, Pat Moulton.
That's true. Yes, I purchased this land through Jim Powers, who is in the town for many years, and I enjoyed his friendship because he was straightforward and told you the way it was. And he had some relationship with Pat Moulton, and he thought he would be a good attorney to represent me, so I followed his advice.
And then Pat began to run for
selectmen. Yes, and then Pat did run for selectmen, and he came to me and said that, I think it'd be a conflict of interest. I think your plans are decent, and you should get someone that, you know, will be straightforward with you. And I said, do you have anybody in mind? He says, no, I really don't. He says, but I have a brother that lives close by in the next town, and I think if you want to check him out, you can. So I did that and had a meeting with Steve Moulton, his brother, and he represented me, and he did a great job, and we were very successful in putting this through.
Good. And Alice Moulton recently took your photo for this project.
Right.
You were interested in also upgrading rundown property when you saw it. I think Conan Street, you mentioned, interested you.
That's right. It's either just in our family with my dad. He would see something run down, and I would assist him in bringing it back into being a pleasant surroundings. And later on, we did buy some properties, and we cleaned them up, fixed them, and at times people would say, I know your property, I just have to look at it just from the landscaping and the appearance, and they say, that's a wonderful thing, and I appreciated that, because sometimes you do things and people don't realize what's being done, but I think many people have.
That is true. Did you do any work on Conan Street?
Yes. Well, we did. We have two parcels, houses on Conan, because they abutted the property, and we really were fortunate to be able to purchase them, and we turned those into rentals.
You have a strong interest in rental property, which is good, since so much of rental property has moved over to condominiums. But let's look at Crow Street. And there were some stucco apartments that came to mind.
Oh, yes. Even before those stucco, there were some units behind those stucco buildings that was owned by the Burnt Company, and they approached me on it, and I took a look, and they were sort of run down, and I had a feeling I could do something with it, which I did, and I was very fortunate that through the years I established a decent credit rating with Middlesex Savings Bank, and they were very helpful in cooperating with me, and they followed my activity.
And then another landlord, it was Gene Kreitzer.
Oh, yes, yes. On Federal Street, they in front of those buildings to complete the cycle because they abutted the property in the back. He owned the two buildings there, and he was getting elderly, and he said, when I retire, you have first option to buy these buildings because I appreciate the job you've done behind me, and I don't have the facilities that you have, so I think it would be a good thing for me and the town if you would purchase those. I said, well, I appreciate that, and so it finally developed.
And then you've interacted with the Concord Housing Authority.
Oh yes, I think we were one of the first that I think Ann Anderson was there, and they approached me on it, and they had some needy people, and so we cooperated with them, and we had a few, even today we have a few people that we work with on the Concord Housing Authority, and we're pleased to do it to accommodate some people that need that type of housing.
Which is, you know, very significant, particularly as our population matures, women find themselves widowed, you know, and can't handle some of the maintenance.
That is true. That is true. And we're pleased that we're able to assist this type of the population, because many of them have been here for years, and some of them have moved out because there was nothing available, and we were fortunate that they heard about us and they came back into town, and we're very well pleased that they could be Concordians again.
Do you recall approximately when the acquisition at Thorough Street took place?
On Thorough Street, the ones in the back were...
The Kreitzer ones.
The Kreitzer ones were in 86, in June of 86 is when we got those. And the ones from...
Edward Burnt?
Edward Burnt, the Thorough Street. In the rear there, the one bedrooms were done in May of 72.
Then Ernie Verrill at the depot, and also Ralph Nelson in this building that we're in now, they approached you.
That's correct. Ralph Nelson was a civil engineer and a great guy, and he did it. Had did quite a bit of work in Concord, and I was in his office and on some work he was doing for me up at Bartlett Hill, and he mentioned about there's a possibility he might sell the Thorough Street shopping center. So I told him I thought I might be interested to balance out my operation and with a little commercial. So we did negotiate, and I bought the Thorough Street shopping center from Ralph Nelson.
So do you recall when that was?
Yes, that was in 83, the latter part of 83.
And from Ernie Verrill?
Ernie Verrill, after he saw what we did, the cleanup on the shopping center,
Was it the early 80s, do you think?
Yes, it was after I bought the shopping center from Ralph Nelson.
Oh, so it came after. It
came after that, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was, it wasn't too long after that that Ernie Bell approached me and said that he thought that I would be a good person to buy his depot because he saw the work that we did at Shopping Center. And I was pleased that we bought it because we did improve the interior and exterior because it needed some repair.
The conversion of a railroad depot to retail space probably intrigued you.
It did, very much so, because there was decent parking, and there was a restaurant there, and then they closed the Concord Depot store itself, and it fascinated me and intrigued me, as you say, and I was pleased that it turned out the way it has.
Well, certainly has become like a landmark here.
Yes, it is. It's a focal point for people on the trains, and they see what's going on.
100 Main Street had been the former Rose Hawthorne School, and part of the complex was condominiums, and part was converted to office space. And you became interested in that around what time period?
That was in the latter part of 91.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that Welch had their headquarters there, and they outgrew it, and they liked this spot very, very much, and we couldn't expand on it. And if we could expand on the building, we'd be pleased to stay here. But they found another place with more space, and they moved on. And so we they occupied the whole building, but there's I think about 15,000 square feet there, and to get one person in there wasn't the best of times to do that, so we split it up, and we have different tenants in there. Let me say for the right, there must be a dozen tenants in there that we did the offices in some of the spaces, and the kind of we were very selective who would go in there, not to cause too much traffic. It would be so there are many financial people there, and it's worked out very well.
So 91, when you acquired it, was at a time of a recession.
That is true. That is true. We went through some, like everybody else, but we hung in there, and we were fortunate enough to have other property that helped us out. And we took our time and did it right.
That's certainly a prime location for office space.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's well located, and we're pleased that we did purchase that, even though we had to struggle with the remodeling with it. It turned out very nice.
Yeah, and 100 Main Street has become 100, that's the name. So that was a good choice. Did West Hawthorne Village, when was that?
Hawthorne Village was owned by Henry Damon and his wife. They built that place there. I guess the property was in the family for years. And it was in June of 83 that Henry approached me. He had he took a personal interest in his tenants, and he ran a good shop with his wife. They were very fine people. I enjoyed talking with Mrs. Damon, and it was unfortunate that shortly thereafter that she passed away, but she was a credit to the to Henry and to the town, because they did a wonderful job up there.
And that was rental?
That was rental property. There were tenants there that Henry had a good relationship with, and they were concerned about them not going condominium, because they enjoyed the place, and the rents were fair, and Henry told me that he realized what we did at Wedgwood, and that there were other people wanting to buy the place, but he gave me the first option, and we worked out a very good program, and he was happy that we took it over and kept it as rentals even today. And we have the facilities to improve the property with the landscaping, and it's worked out very well.
And that your properties continue as rentals.
That is true. That is true.
Now, as we move over to the depot, Wilson Lumber Yard, that interested you.
Yes, it did. Mr. Kendall, who owned the property, I did business with Wilson Lumber there, and I became acquainted, and during the time that we bought that, or just before the time, the economy wasn't too great, and I'm trying to think what year it was.
Was that the late 80s?
I think you're right. I think it was in the late 80s that we negotiated with the Kendall family, and they gave us a first preference, and it was a delight to see because of the industry at that time was on the downgrade in the lumber business and the building business, and there were buildings there that were old, and the lumber yard wasn't
it was kind of run down.
Yes, it was. There's quite an area there, and there were some buildings that had been there for years, and the lumber, they just try to keep them out of the weather, and the office building itself was fairly decent, but still needed a lot of repair. So I was pleased that the Kendall family, as I said, approached me, and there again it was something that we felt we could improve and do make it a part of the town that would be an asset to the town. And there had been some serious accidents there prior to our time, and we took that in consideration, and we blocked off those areas that were open to be prone to accidents, and we're pleased that we're able to have a decent entrance, and we did the buildings, and it was one of the first, I think, commercial residential development, and we're pleased the way it turned out, and I think many of the neighbors were too.
Let's just look at the fact that you also, being at the railroad crossing, you would have to deal with the MBTA?
That is true. The MBTA, I think, had parking there, and we had to negotiate with them and give them some more parking, and they were cooperative. We showed them plans of what we intended to do, and they were pleased with it. And under the conditions at the time, they thought that we would be the proper people to develop it.
And when you studied the site, what made you come up with the mixed retail, commercial, rental apartments?
Well, there's there were some more or less holes in the commercial end of it, like you got a decent restaurant with good parking, which was the big thing, and we kept that in mind because parking is very important. And then we had a few tenants that outgrew their space and came to us from the depot and also the shopping center that would be interested in renting space there. So we have that mix. And we also built along Grant Street there, which is residential. We put in a building there that blended in with the neighborhood. And
so you have townhouses on Grant, face Grant Street.
That's correct.
And the others are like garden apartments?
The others are apartments in an apartment building.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I think that was the first exclusive apartment building with an elevator, because we had people that enjoyed riding the elevator rather than climbing stairs, and so that filled a need, and it's worked out very well.
And some of the units are affordable housing?
We have a handicap unit there, and it's with the Concord Housing Authority.
Okay, so it's a handicap unit.
Right.
I see. You came up with a nice name for it.
Yes, I think we studied different names, and Concord Crossing kind of rang a bell, and it fit in well, and I'm pleased that we chose that.
Certainly a very attractive complex. It's something that the town, recently the town planner has mentioned, that they want to do more of putting residential, you know, apartments in commercial zoned areas.
It blends well for the tenants. They don't have to travel far, and it gives them a good selection without traveling, and they can walk to the stores and be content without the traveling affair.
And not so long ago, Friendly's, that corner, so many people got used to Friendly's for about 30 years, and then Friendly's went out. So you had, a challenge there.
That is true. It was unfortunate when Friendly's first came in. I understand it was very successful, but over the years they had organizational management problems, and we get many complaints that the service and the operation wasn't to their satisfaction. But our hands were tied, and because they were on a lease, and we finally did negotiate and made a settlement with them because I guess they were having their troubles there too. So we were fortunate that we were able to negotiate and have that space open.
And then how did you determine what you wanted there?
Well, it was a matter of studying what the market was, and we got many calls once they knew Friendly's was not going to be there, and we studied each and every one of them. We tried to, on our commercial property, have owner-operated people. We don't like these large firms coming in and delegating their thing as Friendly's did. And it doesn't make for a proper pleasant operation for the town. So we were approached by the
The Costa Brothers?
Costa Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
They have had an operation of Dunkin' Donuts locally, the next town, and we had many meetings with them, and expressed a desire to be part of the community, and so we, after many meetings, we discussed what we required and what they could do, and at the present time, we're very well pleased because they, with our help, and we remodeled the old Friendly store, and it's very pleasant there. And naturally, like everything else, you get opposition, and many people were opposed to having Dunkin' Donuts there. But we sort of analyzed it and tried to make it as pleasant as possible because we thought there was a need for people to sit down and enjoy each other and over some coffee and donuts and... We were pleased that that we had the authority and the cooperation of the Costa brothers to make it as pleasant as possible, even with the signage. And I think that was an important thing. And we're pleased, and I think the town is pleased the way it turned out.
That's Danny and Mike. Costa. Danny and Mike Costa.
Danny and Mike Costa, yeah, very good. And they've become part of the community and they've worked out very well and they've been highly accepted.
And they are their own proprietors.
That is correct. on some of these franchise deals, usually the parent company wants to become part of the lease, but our lease is strictly with Danny and Mike Costa personally, and the Dunkin' Donuts, we have no relationship with them directly.
Interesting. And certainly the exterior signage, the colors, are like no other Dunkin' Donuts.
I think you're right. Yeah, the landscaping as well, and the Costa brothers have cooperated with us 100%, and we're well pleased that they're there, and we get many calls in the beginning that they are so pleased the way the operation is going, and that they have a decent place where they can go and sit down and enjoy themselves with their neighbors.
Now, looking at Elsinore Street, there were apartments there. When did you become interested in those apartments?
Well, at the time, I was building up at Bartlett Hill. There was some land that became available, and at I think it was in the early 70s that I was approached by people who knew that we had the Burt property on Thoreau Street, and they saw the way it turned out, and they were interested in approaching us to purchase the property. That property was pretty well run down over the years. I guess it didn't have the best reputation in town, but we looked at it, and the owner was cooperative with the financing, and so we purchased the property, and we had a ton of work to do there. That was really something. In fact, some of the people would call and want to know if we had any one-bedroom apartments, and we say, well, we have on Elsinore. Oh, I wouldn't go there. There's too many stories about that place. So we said, well, we're going to clean it up, and we're going to not allow pets, because I guess there were many pets that were very loose and not cared for, and it had a bad reputation in that score. So it took some period of time, and we did each building as we went along, and after a while some people would call and they say, I see what you've done on Elsinore Street. And, you know, a few years back we wouldn't even think about living there, but I think we're interested in living there now, and people start moving in, and they were well pleased the way things were maintained and the services that we gave them, and it's worked out very well. It's right along the Sudbury River. It's got a beautiful outlook, and people are most happy there.
And you've owned it now for 30 years.
Yeah, it's amazing how time goes by.
Yeah. Maintenance is a good portion of your company's work.
That's true. We always try to take care of the tenants the best possible way, so that they're happy and they become long-term tenants, and it's worked out very well.
And by and large, your son Jim takes care of the maintenance, supervises.
Yes, Jim is the contact man, and he runs it together with myself, and we have a Mike Forty, who's our head maintenance man, and we have other maintenance people that are top drawer, and it's worked out very well for them and for us in the town.
Now, your interest in the town of Concord has extended to setting up a trust, particularly for those children, to enable them to go to summer camp through the recreation department.
That's true. We found out through Dana DiStefano, who runs that department, that there is a need for children in the town to have some assistance and care. So we studied the situation. It didn't happen overnight, because our funds were diverted into remodeling, and at a time when we could allocate some funds towards the children to go to camp, because they couldn't financially go under the situation where they were at, and we were pleased that we were able to set that up, and over a period of years we've contributed to it, and Dana is pleased, and we're more than pleased that we're able to accomplish this, to allow some children to go to camp that ordinarily couldn't go.
And you set that up what, about 2 years ago?
I think it might be three.
Three now,
about
yeah.
3 years yeah. ago, I think. Time gets by so yeah. fast.
I'm on the trustees of town donations, so I had noticed that's one
yes.
of the trusts.
We're pleased we're able to do that. We like to give back to the town because we've been fortunate. And the town has been good to us, and we want to be good to the town and the community and the people in the town.
Yeah, and the Emerson Hospital has entrusted you. And
yes, believe a hospital and the medical service is important to a community, and we got acquainted with the Emerson Hospital. And through Rotary, I was in charge of helipad there, and I'm pleased that I was able to contribute more ways than one to establish a helipad there at the hospital, because it was very inconvenient before the helipad was there for trauma cases or people where they had to fly to Worcester or Boston. They would have to cross Route 2 where the old building was there. It's a nursing home there now, and they used to have the helicopters there. So we're pleased with that.
Do you want to mention the Paul Harris Award?
Yes, I was pleased, and I think it's quite an honor to receive the Paul Harris Fellow Award, and I'm grateful for that.
And you seem to receive it at the 75th anniversary of
the
it.
The 75th anniversary,
which
right.
Which was in 1992.
92, right.
It's very good. And I was there when you were named Concord Businessman of the Year in...
Yeah, this was in October of 1994. I guess that came about. It was quite an honor and a surprise. I was honored to be recognized.
And that was through the Chamber of Commerce, and I know you, your company with Jim has been a member of the Concord Business Partnership, so you've touched quite a number of bases in the town.
Well, I suppose that's true.
They mentioned that you were participated in the invasion of Normandy.
Yes, I was available and saw that action at Normandy, which I don't care to remember too much about, because it was a brutal affair there, as history knows, and I was very, very fortunate more than one occasion to be able to survive it, and I'm thankful to be here today.
I'm glad you are. Thank you.